across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We've just had Sam in and the engineer. I don't know your name, I do apologise. We're just going to call you the engineer. Both just come in and we've all just stood very silently in the studio trying to work out where this throbbing noises that you probably can't even hear. It's just one of those things. Is Chinese water torture a real thing?
It's got louder.
Okay, she's just ignoring me
I'm
now.
I'm sorry, yes, I think it is. Do you want me to check
we don't know. Well, no, hang on, because we don't know what a new moon is.
Are you going to ask me more questions about things? Because I need to know ahead of time if you expect a proper response.
Yes, I am going to ask you more questions about things because we're doing a radio show.
You know, but torture and the moon aren't my areas of expertise.
What is a new moon?
The old moon was very thin the other day.
Oh, you're such a bell.
Like let's a toenail clipping, and now it's going to be big.
Friend of the show, Joe. Good evening, Joe.
Hello, how are you?
I'm irritable, it would appear. Even though I'm discussing the dark vibe, I still can't shake the dark vibe.
You're kicking it out like no tomorrow.
But I'm good, thank you. Joe, what have you got for us?
Right, first of all, I can offset the dark vibe a little bit, because I remember, 15 odd years ago, you know, on the Rise days.
Yeah.
You used to play Twisted Metal on PlayStation and then trash talk people. That was the original Twitch.
I did. Well, Twisted Metal, for those who don't know, it's a game where you get like a truck, a motorcycle, a couple of other different things, and you basically just ram into each other and pick up weapons and stuff. And yeah, PlayStation Network, I would trash talk people. Did I trash talk you?
No, because I never had it on PSN back then. That was I only ever played single player.
Loser. Loser.
I know. But I was a try.
It's a good game. You can't play it on PSN anymore, but I bought it the other day for a couple of quid. It's still a great game.
I like the clown. There was a clown car. I like that one.
Yeah, the clown car was good. This is what I love about this show. We try and even throw out Brexit when we don't do Brexit, and we get the first call is a very niche call about a video game from 16 years ago that only two people remember.
but mostly it was about how you were ahead of the curve on the games and television.
Yeah, I should have got some money for that.
Yeah, that must keep you up at night.
I tell you what kept me up last night was an episode of Naked Attraction that Kath and I watched yesterday.
I watched it tonight.
Oh, did you watch the one with Lauren Harris?
Yes.
Yeah, we saw that. She was very rude, I thought, but it was...
She wasn't the one that really did it for us, though, was she?
Oh, no, we like the dirty old Christian.
I did not see that coming, did you?
Oh, no. I nearly choked when she just started, effing and jessing straight away.
Dirty old Christian. The episode that kept me up last night was, I think, last week's episode, where the two people went out on a date and they had nothing to say to each other. It was the most uncomfortable thing ever. And I can't stop thinking about it, Joe.
They never do. Did you think, on the one with the dirty Christian woman?
Yes.
When she said to them, taste this cake, and then they had to, guess what the cake was. But then, first of all, that's a weird, in the context of the show, that's weird.
Yeah.
But then when they ate the cake... She's just telling them what was in it. She's it's a Victoria sponge with clotted cream. But why did they ask them to guess?
There were so many questions. Well, the fact that she said they were going to be eating it off her pudenda, and it was just constant kind of, we're going to be doing it. And then when they came back after 2 weeks, it's like, well, we're going to take it slow.
Yeah.
What happened in between?
Each other.
My favourite, though, were the two lesbians who went back to the hotel room, then they met up again. Will you be seeing each other again? No, because she has a partner. It's my favourite TV show. It's also simultaneously my absolute least favourite TV show.
It's definitely Satan's favourite.
Mary Whitehouse was right.
She's bang on, wasn't she? They didn't get what's that woman, Biddy Baxter or something?
Biddy Baxter.
You wouldn't have it, would you? Get her in the tube.
Anyway, what did you want to call in about? Twisted Metal or fannies?
Twisted Metal and Naked Attraction.
Okay.
Just before we move on to Naked Attraction, though, last night, she started off saying about, toe jobs and stuff. That was the first thing she said.
I know. It was just weird from start to finish, that whole part.
Yeah.
Did you notice, the guy with the prosthetic leg, the wooden prosthetic leg? he had a little, like a prosthetic, sort of, like the toes were all done, and it was all I had.
Also, she could suck him off.
Oh, God.
Suck his toes, suck his toes.
Probably. She should have gone, thanks.
Do you, hang on a minute, Joe, do you know the phrase to have a chode? Is that it, chode?
A chode, yeah.
I had heard of a chode before, but I thought it was like a turd. I didn't realise it was a...
Catherine, you know about chodes.
Yeah, I do know.
What is it?
It's a penis that is wider than it is long.
Why is it called a chode?
I don't know.
I thought it was because of the Bruce Springsteen song, The Ballad of Tom Chode. But that may not... that may not be... genuinely, I don't know.
We'll have to ask the boss.
Not Denny, you mean actually Bruce. Well, I'll text him afterwards. The time difference makes it difficult to call him while we're on air.
Why do they call it a chode?
Why do we call it a chode? Oh, here we go. We don't do Brexit, but we do. Why is it called a chode when the penis is wider than it is longer? 03444991000.
I'm wondering whether it's another word for a button mushroom.
But that's diff. Anyway, I'm just thinking of Bell Ends now. and we've got Alan coming up in a minute. So go on, Joe. What did you call him?
Yes, I was calling about the negativity that you've noticed. That
yes.
Work. So the other day I was driving along and I come to a roundabout and a car pulled out and the car who, you know, had right of way, he could have just slowed down and let the guy go. But instead he did the thing, you know, where they do the long bib.
Yeah.
Like not a, this is, you might cause an accident bib, but that I'm telling you off bib. He did that. And then as he went past me, this very old man, he looked like a junior soprano.
God.
He kept going. And I kind of watched him, the guy that he'd done the long bib to had stopped. And then he revved his engine really loudly and like went like right the way around the mini roundabout, nearly hitting someone else to chase after the old man.
Ooh.
And when he went past, he was an old man as well.
Wow.
And this is in like Leighton Buzzard. This isn't like London or anything. So it's spreading even into the home counties. Little old men are getting involved.
And have you noticed this kind of happening a bit more recently, Joe? This anger. It's anger.
Yeah. Everyone's an arsehole.
He said calmly.
Joe, lovely call, mate. Thank you very much.
That's pretty much the conversations we've been having, though, isn't it?
It's true, man. 03444991000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, you're very, very welcome. We're talking about the dark vibe that's around at the moment. You may want to call in about that. You can, of course, call in about anything you want. Why is a chode called a chode? What exactly is a new moon? Is Chinese water torture real? These are great phoning topics. I wish I planned these ahead. Or you can just phone in and vent. 03444991000. Good evening, Michael.
Hello.
What you got long for us, Michael?
Long time no speak, do you?
Long time no speak. Catherine, does that get a bell?
I think so.
It gets a muted one. There we go. Go on, Michael, what you got?
I reckon it's the kids being off school for the last 3 weeks that sent the parents to do that.
Go on.
Winding them up. Also, the hot nights as well. That's
the hot nights? Possibly.
They're getting no sleep, see?
Hot nights, yeah, that could be something to do with it. Global warming could be something to do with it. Kids off school, I don't know, because I think Joe there just said it was two old guys that were going at it. I don't think it's just parents that are frothing at the mouth. I think, personally, I think it's bigger than that. I think it's more than just the parents that are struggling. I think it's everybody. Seems to be. Have you lost your temper recently, Michael?
Yeah, regularly.
and is there any reason? Have you lost it more than normal?
Yeah, I get that up a bit sometimes when I'm watching the telly and some of the idiots are on there, but...
Who would you class as an idiot?
Oh, that's the point, isn't it? One of them would probably be the leader of the Labour Party.
Remind me of his name, Catherine.
Jeremy Corbyn.
That would be Jeremy Corbyn's. Okay. Jeremy Woodbines.
Well, he really winds me up. I think with Boris, he's a bit of an idiot, but he's a likeable idiot.
Oh, he's a liar and a racist, but if you like lying racists, then sure, I guess, you know, he's great to get on with.
I don't think you can say that about him, really.
Oh, I can. He's lied and he's been racist. So, yeah, you can call him a liar and a racist.
Well, a lot of prime ministers lie. They don't tell the truth. They don't even give you an answer to your question.
Okay, just because others have lied doesn't mean I can't call him a liar.
We probably thought, no, you can call him what you like. I mean,
well, I will. I'll call him what he is. He's a liar, and he's a racist.
How's he a racist?
Pickaninnies. Pickaninnies. That's a racist term.
He's not a member of the Ku Klux Klan, is he?
No. Again, you don't have to. You don't have to wear bed sheets with holes cut out to be a racist. You can just write articles that are read by white middle class people that reference pickaninnies in a throwaway, casual manner.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff that he's probably saying, somebody's wrote for him anyway. So
no, he writes it himself.
Does he?
Yep.
Well, that saved us a bit of money then, isn't it?
Well, yes, about £250,000 a year, I think, for his columns.
Yeah, good. Good.
Good. No, it's great that he gets paid so much money to spout racist, lying nonsense.
Well, I don't think he does.
Well... But he literally...
I've got your opinion.
No, it's not... But this is the problem, Michael. This is where we're at the moment. People don't know the difference between opinion and fact. And what I'm saying is fact.
All right. Well, you know, that thing you was on about your cock being wider than it was longer.
Not mine.
No, if somebody has been run over by a steamroller.
Thank you very much indeed, Michael. There we go. 03444991000. I'll call Boris a lying racist because he lies and he has written things that are racist. And so it's not opinion, guys. It's not opinion. Them's is facts. Let's go to Cads. Good evening, Cads.
I am Mark. Hi, Cass.
And hello to you.
Can I start the bidding at £4.99?
Sorry?
Can I start the bidding at £4.99?
What?
The James Brown's phone.
Oh, no, we haven't found it yet, but if we do find it, then yes, the bid... Okay, do you know what? I haven't got any paper. We'll get some paper during the next break. The bidding for James Whale's phone starts at £4.99. Do we hear any higher offers than that, please? 0344-499-1000. What are you going to do with it, Alan?
Well, it depends on what app's on there, and if it's iOS or Android.
Okay, all right, well... I would rather just go through his phone book, but there you go. Hey, guess who we bumped into? Guess who wandered into the office tonight, Alan?
Who wandered into the office?
Let me finish the setup. Guess who wandered into the office tonight, Alan? Absolutely steaming drunk, right? So much so that he walked in very slowly, and I called out his name. I'm going to whack this out. And he turned to look at me. And looked at me blankly for 30 seconds to the point where it was uncomfortable, leaned forward and squinted and went, "Ah, Ian."
Who was it?
It was Ian Collins.
Oh, my God.
He was absolutely trashed. Didn't recognise me.
And wasn't it delightful?
Oh, it was wonderful. We had the best 20 minutes. We got all the dirt. I've also got his phone number and he's going to come on the show one night. Yeah, he's going to come and sit in with us one night, which may be signing my own death warrant once the bosses hear that and go, that's what we want again. We remember. But
didn't he used to be on the LBC?
He used to be on Talk Radio.
The original Talk Radio.
The original Talk Sport.
Which used to be Talk Radio UK.
The original Talk Radio UK, yes. Yeah, that's it. You got it, buddy. You got it.
Yeah, because Tommy Boyd was on the original Talk Radio as well.
Yes, he was.
We miss Tommy, don't we?
Not really.
But it'd be great if he covers again, or you and him do a double header.
No. No, listen, I think Tommy should be on the radio again, but I much prefer Kath covering for me when I'm gone. I think it's a much better fit, but I would love to hear Tommy on the radio. Of course I would. I think he's great.
Yeah, and you talking about Boyd Johnson being a liar, have you asked his dad about that?
Have I asked his dad about it?
About Boris?
I've not seen his dad for just approaching 2 years.
Yeah, because you took a relationship with him in the jungle.
Well, I say relationship. I was forced to get on with someone who kept farting and I thought was a bit of a knob.
Well, Stanley Nodder was a bit of a trumpeter.
Yeah, he was. Yes, he was. He was a Trump supporter, shall we say. He was one of those old men that when they just walk, every step a fart comes out. But he was oblivious to it. Mm. We weren't.
Meanwhile, he took great offence to people brushing their teeth away from the allotted area, didn't he?
He did. Did they show that? Or did
no,
I tell you that?
No, you told me that. And I thought that's odd.
You have like a little sort of wash area. Sorry to go on about the jungle. I mean, who cares really now? But you had a little wash area. And then if someone walked back to the camp brushing their teeth, he was disgusted by it.
Mm-hmm.
Properly would get angry. That is private. That it was like they were walking around tossing off. That should be kept private. That is disgusting.
Meanwhile, all the time undermining his own argument by passing air over poo outside the toilet
and fathering a bell cheese. 0344. Just one. The other Johnson kids are great. 0344 499 1000 is the phone number. What is this dark vibe that's going around? And I'm doing my best to be chilled tonight. I'm struggling. It wants to burst out of my chest like that that creature in the movie Alien. No, hang on. Like that alien in the movie Creature. Lavinia, you're up next. This is the Late Night Alternative. Catherine Boyle and Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000. Simon's crouching down beside us. At last, Denny has listened. The boss of the station has finally given me what I've asked for. A young man crouching down beside me while I broadcast. That's what I wanted. That's what I was promised 3.5 years ago. And finally, I've got it. 0344. Sorry? 499.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you a yellow card for that one.
Whoa. Yeah. Outrageous behaviour.
He's trying to do his job. Don't harass him.
I'm not harassing him. His job is to kneel down beside me and make me feel good about myself. and he's bowing. We have, unsurprisingly, there are technical problems in the £25 million studio, but Simon is fixing it. Is it fixed?
Yep.
There we go. Sorted.
I love it. Can we keep the pit crew forever?
Let's go to Lavinia. Good evening, Lavinia. Thank you, Simon.
Hello.
It's
hello,
good to be back. It's good to be back. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
I love you all, and I really, 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 really love your show.
Oh, I wonder what you were going to say then. I did wonder what she was going to say then, and she said show, and she's right to say it. I love you, Lavinia, and I want to kiss your bum cheeks.
I know, and I want to kiss you all over here.
Oh, yeah. Kisses all over.
Also, both of you, right? Oh. But all I want to say before you go any further,
yes,
right?
Yes.
All this thing about he's lying, she's lying, this, that's lying. All I'm going to say, Ian Cameron was the biggest.
Who?
Is it Ian Cameron? Yeah, Ian Cameron.
Who?
Has put a terrible burden on our country.
Who?
Ian Cameron. Before. Theresa May, yeah, remember Theresa May?
I remember Theresa May. I don't remember Ian Cameron.
Oh, sorry, David Cameron.
There we go. I remember that guy. And we wanted you to remember that yourself. We didn't want to patronise you.
Sorry, Ian Cameron, yes, David sir. Cameron.
Yeah.
What I want to say, that he has given us a terrible burden. But what we need to remember...
You have totally put that camera on the wonk.
I know, but it was on the wonk before.
No, let's handle it, because you've now got it pointing upwards on a diagonal.
Thank you. Oh, shut your face.
No, she's got... Get this, Lavinia. She's put the camera pointed up, but it's pointing up at the ceiling.
It's waggling itself.
It's not Thank waggling
you.
Itself.
It is.
Thank you. And also, what I'd like to say... wherever he is right now, so David Cameron,
yeah.
He needs to think about what he's done, okay? Because he has left Theresa May with a terrible burden. But also, what we need to realise, though, Ian, we need to realise that we are resilient, courageous.
I'm not.
And,
no, we're not. What a load of bollocks.
We have got the strength of a lion.
Oh, what are you talking... Lavinia, you normally speak... Lavinia, you normally talk sense. You're talking a load of bollocks tonight.
Do you think so?
Yes, of course I do. What, the old British strength of a lion, spirit of a thing we got? A load of old rubbish.
You should
cobblers.
Have seen me trying to heave myself up out of the lake yesterday. I didn't have the strength of a lion.
Cobblers.
Okay, Ian. Ian, how about this then?
Go on, try again.
Why do we say a great Britain?
Because we're arrogant.
No. It's talking about the it's talking about Britain and beyond, the different bits we've got
that's
added on. No, it's not saying it's great, it's just saying that it's like Greater Manchester, that kind of vibe.
What we need to realise, Ian, I'll tell you what's gone on here.
Well, what's gone on is you just ignores Kath's excellent point where she destroyed your rather weak point. But yes, go on.
We need to realise, in a way, we have lost our way. But we need to realise that we are all resilient. You, me and Catherine, everybody else. And if anything comes our way, if it's bad or good, believe it might be bad, we need to embrace it.
Why would we want to embrace something bad? Are you not, Lavinia, what is wrong with you? Normally, you're one of our most sensible callers with your head stuck on. I think your head has fallen off tonight. Have you been smoking the wacky backy?
Ian, let me tell you this now. Wherever you're coming from, I love you.
But I love you too. But you're not talking rubbish tonight.
No. What we need to remember, Ian,
yes.
That we have come from
Africa,
a generation from our ancestors. I'm actually talking from the depths now. Never ever give up, because we are courageous, we are resilient, and we can get through anything.
Okay, what's that? And what's that got to do with anything?
We will overcome anything and everything. Any obstacle that comes our way, we will embrace it. Not with violence or tearing somebody apart. We will embrace it in the right way. Well, if you said to me, well, what is the right way, Lavinia?
I didn't say that.
I would say, love them.
Love them to death?
Yes!
Like Prince Andrew. Not that he's killed anybody, as far as we know.
Got it.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Lavinia. I tell you what we're going to do is we're going to feed that through a computer and then send it off to the laboratory for tests. And when we've worked out what the hell you're talking about, we'll
let the
listener know.
It was bullshit.
Okay. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. Paula says, I'm having deja vu. Is this a repeat? Yes. It's the simple answer to that question. Let's go to James. Good evening, James.
Good evening. How are you?
It's none of your business. What have you got for us?
Oh, well, I'm going to give you £50 for James Wells' face.
Whoa! That piddles on Alan Caddick's £4.99. Now we're talking.
And I'll pay postage and packing.
Oh! We only send it Royal Mail second class, so that should be about £3.50. All right. What would you do if you had James Wells, if you won the bid for James Wells' mobile phone at £50?
What would I do with it? I'd probably sell it on eBay for about £60. How's that?
it sounds like either. Let me run it past. Just maybe run it past my friend Catherine. So he's going to buy something off me for £50,
yeah,
and then sell it on eBay for £60. Now that's either the greatest idea ever, mm-hmm, or it's absolutely insane. What do you think?
£10. £10 difference. Well, but barely worth
if
it.
If he's the highest bidder,
yeah,
and he buys it for £50, the only person who would pay more for it is him.
Yeah.
So he'd be down £110.
Yeah, this guy's insane.
He'd get stuck in an infinite loop. James,
I'm sure someone want James Wells' phone.
Okay, we will see, James. Thank you very much indeed. You see what I mean? Yeah. So the dark vibe. Have you noticed it? Have you noticed it within yourself? Where do you think it's coming from? And excuse me, what can we do to stop it? 0344-499-1000. What the hell? Where does the word chode come from? Is Chinese water torture real? And what is a new moon? Well, you know how this works. We'll take calls straight to air at some point, a little bit later on in the show, because when it's like this, you can get some interesting stuff sometimes. But we're talking about the dark vibe that just seems to be everywhere, permeating everything at the moment. And I've noticed it in London. I've noticed it in Windsor. I've noticed it in Aylesbury. I've noticed it on the show, listening to other shows. On other stations, there seems to be a lot more anger on Twitter, on Twitch streams.
In the office.
Oh, God. Get this right. So last night, we had Dan, guy who came, saw us in Belfast, said, can I come and sit on the show for a couple of nights? Sure, he can. Really nice guy, very quiet, very shy guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Took a lot for him to ask to come over.
Oh, it did. Very quiet guy. And really nice bloke. And afterwards, he said to us, do you mind if we get a picture with you? I mean, yeah, sure. So there was someone working in the office, and he said to her, would you take a picture? I handed her his phone. And she said, please? And I'm there thinking, this guy's like in his, what, 30s? What did I just hear? Would you take a picture? Please?
Just insane.
Sorry, what? And then we were going to take the picture out in the hall by the... And I just went, just take the picture now. And we came out and I had to apologise to him. I didn't have to, but I felt... I didn't want his parting moment, after having two nights that I was worried were boring for him, his parting moment to have a grown adult tell another grown adult to go... Please?
The thing is, he's such a lovely guy. He went, oh, no, that probably was my fault. I should definitely have said, you know, immediately sort of took the...
And then he got in the lift and I said, I'm really sorry for that. He said, no, she was right. I didn't say please. I said, mate, come on. That is not...
He didn't say it in a rude way.
No. Wasn't take a photo. Would you mind taking a photo? Please? Incredible. I was going to mention it to her tonight. If she were in, she were not. Choose discomfort over resentment. Yeah. Brené Brown. Yeah. Because I just walked out absolutely fuming that, don't speak to one of my guests like, don't speak to another human being like that, right? Because he was polite. Don't speak to one of my guests like, if you felt slighted by the way he said it, then the next day grab me and say, can I just say, I thought the way your guest spoke, you say it to me. Don't call, how dare you? How dare you? Your card's marked. Has been marked for a long time.
There are people she wouldn't have done that to, that's the point.
Yeah. Outrageous.
It's those moments where you wish he was an undercover boss or something, you know?
Oh, man,
because she didn't know who he was.
No.
To speak to him like that. And also, his tone was not rude. The main thing is, his tone was not rude.
Incredible. But then, think on it. Is that us overreacting? And now we're talking about it on air and making things worse. We're stirring the pot of anger and hatred. I lost my temper with two... people on the phone this week, energy companies. Now, I'm always really polite to people on the phone because they're getting paid naff all, right? I'm going from one energy company to another, and the final bill is too high because they've estimated the reading wrong, as they've done the whole time, which is why I'm leaving them. Phoned up and said, you've estimated the bill too high. I want to give you the proper reading so you can reduce it. Oh, we didn't get those numbers came from your new energy company. They have to change it. And I said, so I argued with this guy and I ended up saying, your company is effing rubbish.
Whoa.
This is,
okay.
This is why I'm leaving. Put the phone down. Then I went to the new energy company. I went, no. Those figures come from your old energy company. I said, okay, but they're the figures that I'm going to, so can you change them? No, nothing we can do about it. So, my first payment to you is gonna be wrong because you have got nothing we can do about it. And then it got very tense. And I was ruder than I would like to have been. I believe she was in India. She certainly had an Indian accent. I believe this young lady was in India. And, it got very tense. And then I went, I'm very sorry for the way I've spoken to you. Shouldn't have spoken to you like that. But I have to say, as my first verbal encounter with my new energy supplier, I am furious and I'm very suspicious when you say you cannot change a false estimation. You can't lower it. And then the conversation ended with her going, okay, I've CC'd you. I've sent you that email. And I went, thank you very much. She said, have a nice day. I said, yeah. You too.
Oh, gosh. Passive aggression.
Now, that's not really That's not how I like to behave. But I mean, I was righteously peed off with the situation because it wasn't good enough. But I shouldn't have got involved with those two people in that manner because they're on tuppence halfpenny. So it's everywhere. This kind of anger, or is it just me? I mean, we've had a couple of calls from people saying that they have spotted it as well. Maybe you've spotted it, dear listener. 03444991000. You'll speak to Sam. He'll take your number, name and number, and give you a call back. Catherine Boyle.
You're forgetting what happened when we left the building last night.
Yep.
We were walking across to where we park our cars, and we heard this yelling.
Oh, God, yes, man.
And it was someone sitting in the back of a cab with the door open, shouting like he was outside talking to someone, I don't know, right at the end of a playground or something, yelling. Well, someone's effed up and it's not me. Shouting at someone who is, you know, a metre away in front of him. And so they'd obviously had some sort of ructions. This wasn't his cab and the guy wanted to get out of his cab. And as we walked away, pretending that we weren't quite alarmed by the way this guy was talking, we heard the most almighty thump as the guy got out of the cab and gave it a right good slapping.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of, wow, what is this? What is this? What? I mean, just get another cab.
What is going on,
this
guys?
Swirling vortex of hate.
Something's happening. So that I wanted to have one aspect of the show is talking about that and why we think it's happening. I have my feelings. I've told you why. Ways we can reduce that. 03444991000. But also, just phone up and dick around. I think that is the strongest weapon we have against this anger and against this depression and malaise. Well, it's more than the malaise because it's active. The strongest weapon we have against it is dicking around on mainstream media. That's it. That's what we got. That's why we don't do Brexit on this show, right? Because everywhere else is doing it. 3 hours a night out of, gosh, how many hours of broadcast are there at the moment a day? I don't know, 250, I'm plucking that number out of the air. 3 hours out of 250 that isn't about the B word. I think we can do it. So give us a call, 03444991000. I think after midnight, we will take calls straight to air, because that might be quite helpful. Other things we've got out there is Chinese water torture real. What is a new moon? And, whatever else you fancy. I can see Sam is talking furiously just put them through. Just put them straight through.
It's the problem.
What? Who's the problem? Who's being a problem? I know it's not Sam. Well, even Sam's getting feisty, rightfully so, defensively, because one of the callers last night was exceptionally rude to him. But even you're...
Just for a reason, the last couple of days, this has happened, I'd say, total of about a dozen times now.
Yeah.
Someone phones in, I'll say I'll phone them straight back. I phone them a second later, and it just rings out.
And who's done that? Kadir?
No, so Stephen did it first.
Stephen, explain yourself.
I'm your one. Is it my fault now? Yeah.
It could be your fault, Stephen. How you doing, man?
I'm fine, pal. I'm a lot calmer than I was yesterday.
Yesterday you were a mess, brother. I'm glad you called back.
I was bouncing off the walls.
Yes, man.
A 3.5 day binge of White Rock.
There we go. It was okay because you sounded like a mess. Have you had a sleep today?
I have, but I can't. You see, the part of the problem was my doctor started me on diazepam, and I was on them for such a long time.
Yeah,
I really, really, I get really addicted to them.
Yeah, of course, it's a very powerful narcotic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. Tell me about it.
Yes, man.
I can't believe I'm talking to you.
Yeah, I'm pleased that you're talking to me, and I'm pleased that you're talking to me straight. And you know, last night I felt for you, brother, but there was nothing I could do. What are we going to do? How are we going to turn this around?
Do you know I can hear myself on the back then? And it's a bit off-putting, but I'll carry on. What is it they say to the British? They'll, Soldier on.
I know. So I'd apologise. Some of the callers are finding there's a little bit of an echo on the line.
Yeah.
I know. The next station I work at, I'll make sure that is not happening. But this one, that's what we got. So right. So yeah. You're taking drugs when you shouldn't be taking drugs. So how are we going to stop?
Do you know what it is? It's the place that I live. I'm also up in a catchment area with the most amount of freely available drugs.
We talked about this yesterday. That's nonsense, man. That's nonsense. That is not a reason to be taking drugs. Just because there's loads of dealers around.
No. You've shot me down in flames there, Ian.
I have, and you know it, and I'm not saying it in an angry way, I'm saying it because you know it makes sense. All right, so if there were no dealers for 100 miles, you'd either move house, or you'd do what I used to do when I couldn't get my dealer who lived 5 miles away, is I would jump in the car and I'd drive 40 miles to a dealer.
Ian, I've got absolutely nothing else in my life that
right.
means much.
There we go.
To me. You know, I've got no family.
Yeah.
My mum died a good few years ago. I've got issues with that. I've got issues with my stepsister.
Yeah.
I won't talk to my stepsister. It might all sound a bit trivial. When...
No, it doesn't sound trivial. It sounds huge.
Oh, God. Listening to half the people on here is trivial, believe
me. No. Here's the thing. Try not to compare yourself to other people. These things are huge for you, right? And they're huge.
Right.
Your mum dying is a huge thing. That ain't trivial. Not talking to members of the family. That's a huge thing. That's not trivial. But even if it was something that others would perceive as trivial, if it has a huge negative impact on you, then it's not trivial. So don't try not to. And I noticed you did this yesterday. Try not to compare yourself to other people and their problems quite as much as you are at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Can I say something?
Of course you can.
Can I apologise to Kat yesterday if I was being condescending or sexist or... Because I think I shouted out something really boorish and...
No, you didn't. It was fine.
Okay, you there?
Yeah.
Catherine, call her Catherine.
Oh, sorry. Oh no.
That's all right. I'm not saying it to tell you off. I'm just saying call her Catherine.
I don't mind. But no, you didn't. You were lovely about. You were lovely. You've got nothing to apologise for.
But I listened to you. I think it was it the 1 or 2 weeks?
Yeah.
And somebody did mention it, and it just triggered it in me. You've got a dead sort of calm and... Just a really calm and sort of... that's a way of putting it, calm. And I won't say much more. I'll just say calm. You get a really... I like your voice.
All right. Thanks, Stephen.
So, okay, listen. We have to go in a little bit, right? Because we're coming up to the news. I'm so glad to hear that you're straight today. Have you got any friends or anyone you can talk to about this stuff?
I've got cat team workers, I've got drug team workers. My neighbours are all elderly. I seem to live in a part of the town where most people are quite elderly and you know, I pass the time of day in that. But there is things out there today, I know that. No, I mean people my own age, like say even just getting into like playing pool, things like that, and work activities and things like that. You know, all sorts of things.
You need to stop. You need to find something that is more helpful. And whether that's reading a book, whether that's going for a walk, riding a bike, watching a film, playing snooker, making something, exercise. I don't know. I'm just saying the first things that come to my head.
Right.
They're you know, going for coffee, baking. I don't know. There is more out there than just getting off your mash.
That's it. I know. The daftest things people do just to try and escape reality for...
What are you doing this weekend? How are you going to... I've got 1 minute, right, then I have to go, but you're welcome. No,
right,
shut up.
Right,
shush. I want to speak to you next week, Stephen, but also I want to know now, what are you doing this weekend? How are you going to survive the weekend?
Well, I listen to the radio a lot. I listen to you a lot. I listen to Radio Scotland Off the Ball. It's about football.
Yeah.
It's funny. I will read a lot. And I'll probably spend most of the time on the internet.
Okay. Are you a fan, and I don't want to, you know, are you a fan of Lemmy at all?
Lemmy, I've heard of Lemmy. I've not heard of his partner, but I've heard of Lemmy.
Mate, you got the internet there, have you?
Yeah, I have, yeah, but I've heard he's dissed you something off.
No, it was a joke. It was a joke. I consider him a friend.
That was a great joke.
Can I make a suggestion? Now, you might not like him. He's not everyone's cup of tea, but I'm just getting a vibe off you. Can I make a suggestion?
Right.
For the next hour,
uh-huh,
stop listening to my radio show.
Right.
And go and watch Lemmy on Twitch. Are you aware of Twitch?
Twitch.
It's like YouTube, but it's people streaming video games and talking.
Okay, I'll find it. I'm pretty good at computers, you know.
For the next hour, if you can, after 10 minutes, you might hate him and you want to switch off, and that's fine.
Right.
But for the next hour, try and find Lemmy on Twitch and watch it. And if you feel like...
He's nothing like Frankie Boy, Ozzy, because I can't stand Frank.
I don't think so. I think Lemmy is very clever. He's also, he was also an alcoholic.
Oh, right.
Nearly tops himself several times through being an alcoholic. And now I think he's 15, 14 years sober, something like that.
Right.
He's very funny. He's very rude.
Mm-hmm. I don't mean that.
and if you catch him on a good night, he sometimes talks about being an addict and talks about mental health. And you could always ask him, actually. And he talks about mental health. And, I've found him very inspiring, and I just think that maybe you might get something out of it.
That mashup, that was comedy gold.
He's great. Stephen, go and have a little look, and I'd recommend it to anyone. I think you shouldn't really say switch off my radio show, but Lemmy on Twitch, it's him playing video games, but it's so much more than that. And you can ask him. Say, Ian Lee mentioned that you struggle with booze or mental health and stuff. What was that about? He might tell you to F off. Don't take it personally. I doubt he will. And he might share a little bit or a lot or a couple of words about his story. And I found him a great inspiration. A great inspiration. So, Stephen, go and do that and let us know how you get on. Pete, Mark, stay there. I'm going to come to you in a bit. This is Talk Radio.
Unconventional after-hours radio that you won't hear anywhere else.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Neon lit night talk for torch singers, trolley dollies and train wrecks like me.
Zach Commando.
Never know just where the conversation will take you.
Well, a human being isn't a dog.
No.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. Tomorrow night from 10 on Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
So well, you'd be amazed, so full of praise. When we rearrange the world, we're gonna change. Go with us, run with us. We're gonna change the world, you'll be amazed, so full of praise. When we rearrange the world, we're gonna change. We're gonna change the world, you'll be amazed, so full of praise when you rearrange the world. On about hum-piddle.
0344-499-1000 is the phone number. I want to know your sex injuries today, please. I don't mean because you were attacked. I have friends over at the weekend. I won't say which one, but one of my friends not only snapped his banjo string, but also in another sexual encounter. I don't quite know what happened, and he was reluctant to discuss it, but he kind of snapped his penis.
Sounds to me like someone's been overcompensating.
Doesn't it? He snapped his penis, and now it's got a bend in it.
whoever that man is, if he's listening, you're good enough. You don't have to go to those, I was going to say, lengths.
Well, I mean, exactly. So I want to know, tonight, your sex injuries, 0344-499-1000. We've got a guest on at midnight. If you listened to Friday's show, you would have heard us discussing some of her research, some of her theories. She believes, she's an author, she believes that if you want to attract male or the partners, you get a little bit of, I mean, what is the Latin for fanny juice?
God.
And you put it behind your ears. What's her name? She's coming on.
Shan Boodram.
Shan Boodram is coming on at midnight. We're going to get, we'll get her on after midnight because
yeah, she's a sexpert and we want to be able to express herself as fully as she can.
Yes. In the meantime, guys and gals, you're welcome to call in 0344-499-1000 about anything you want. Happy to discuss definitions of post-traumatic stress disorder, a condition which is sadly not confined to the brave women and men that serve in our armed forces. Been having to educate a lot of people on Twitter today. There's a video that's gone up. It's only had 60,000 views. I mean, it's nothing really. It's only had 60,000 views of me suggesting, just thinking out loud, just kicking some ideas around, something that we used to pride ourselves on as a nation, of kicking ideas around, not making any definite statements, just hypothesizing that possibly the reason there is, I have seen, it's not statistically accurate, but I have seen more incidents of anger in the streets, on Twitter, people phoning this show and other shows, in shops. I'm hypothesizing that possibly it's got something to do with Brexit, something to do with having a lying racist prime minister, the uncertainty of no deal, the uncertainty of will there, won't be there, be an election, are we going to go to the polls again? All these things combined could possibly have created some form of mass national PTSD. And the point I was trying to make, that there's so much anger, was highlighted by, if you go and find that thread on Twitter at Talk Radio and then read that thread, my God. some of those people, but they touch their mothers with those fingers that they've typed those words. I've never seen the C word so many times. Basically, most of them are calling me, I'm going to use two words that are really offensive, and I'm going to use them, and I apologize. Some of you will find these words offensive. I'm using them as examples. I've been called a mong and a retard. It's the last time I use those words. They're thoroughly, thoroughly unpleasant words.
Suitably those old-fashioned, however.
Yeah, exactly. I've been called a C. I've been told I'm mental. I've had jokes about my appearance, my divorce, my drug addiction, my suicidal thing. People saying I stitched up my mates in the jungle by stealing strawberries. Trust me, I hated everybody in that bloody jungle. I didn't have any mate. I didn't steal from any mates. I find it funny. Someone just asked how that affects my mental health. Doesn't at all. Not one iota, because I'm impenetrable. At the moment, I'm completely impenetrable. So the threats of violence, people telling me to go and kill myself, people threatening to phone up the show, they won't. It's had no effect. It's saddened me, and it's made me think, oh, okay, there is something in this. And there's been a little bit of abuse from some Remainers as well towards, there's anger on both sides, but primarily because of the nature of the video, I get it. Primarily, it's been very violent anger. I don't necessarily mean in implying physical violence. I'm talking violent in the use of language, directed at me. And that's absolutely, that's absolutely fine.
I would love to know how many of the people who commented actually watched the video, because a lot of what they're saying is irrelevant.
Yep.
And doesn't account for, well, it's got nothing to do with what you're actually saying.
Yeah.
And also, you would think, if you've seen the end of it, surely you see the catch here.
Yeah.
Which is, and now look at the answer, the responses to this, they'll all be furious. You wouldn't play into that, surely, if you'd watched it, would you?
Can I just say, everyone who's called me a C, everyone who's called me an R and an M, I won't say those words again, everyone who's told me I should kill myself, joked about my marriage breakdown, joked about my drug, every one of you, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I have no ill will towards any of you. I have no bitterness. I have no anger. If I have any emotion, it's sadness. Sadness and love. That's all I've got for you. That's
I think it's really sad that people are carrying this amount of fury around with them.
Yeah.
It's not good for you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so, that thing of giving, drinking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Yeah. I love you guys. I'm sorry you're so full of anger. I would have thought you would have been, a lot of them are people who voted Brexit. I would have thought you would have been happier that you had won. It seems very angry that you have won, well, in inverted commas.
You keep telling us that you're winning.
Yeah. So, I wish best. Again, none of you, even though I mentioned it on the air last week, none of you seem to know what my views on Brexit are. None of you asked me today. You all assumed. You all assumed. You don't know my views on Brexit. It isn't binary. It isn't 1-0, on off, black, white. My opinion is, because I'm a human being and because I'm complex, it's a little subtler and more nuanced than that. Anyway, we don't do Brexit on this show. We don't do Brexit. That's our saving point. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. We do anything you want. Let's go to Andrew. Good evening, Andrew.
Hello, Ian. It's my time to shine. Sex injuries.
Here we go. And he heard the SI, the sex injuries topic, and Andrew called in because he wants to let people know he's had sex.
Finally, it's going to be worth it, Andrew.
Here we go. What you got, Andrew? What's happened?
So, I was at university. Let me set the scene before I start. Okay?
Please do.
So, her parents are asleep upstairs. We're downstairs watching a film.
Yeah.
Gets a bit...
Can I ask you, what film are you watching?
You know what, I can't remember.
Doesn't matter, they weren't watching it.
I saw 6 Jason Statham films this weekend. 6.
Good choice. We've done all the, Back to the Future films this weekend. Anyway, we're digressing.
Sorry.
Okay. So, parents sleep upstairs.
I will be rating the 6 Jason Statham films I saw this weekend.
This isn't a what film have you seen phone in, this is a what have you been...
Well, yeah, but I'm just for those people who want to know what I think of the 6 Jason Statham films I saw this weekend, I'm going to tell you.
Great,
I will tell you later on in the show.
Andrew.
Okay, Catherine there producing, which is something we don't see very often, so we should applaud it.
Thank you very much.
And enjoy it. Away we go.
Andrew, tell us about...
Catherine's producing. This is what a producer sounds like.
What happened?
Parents sleep upstairs. We're watching Jason Statham film downstairs.
Ow!
And it's getting a bit frisky.
Just got punched, mate, by my producer. Let him produce him.
It's a reverse Clarkson.
Yes, carry on, Andrew, please. For goodness sakes, mate, you're drawing this story out.
We moved from the sofa to the floor.
Oh, that's a bold move. Because if they come down quick, that's a tough one to get out of. Yeah. The sofa, at least you can put a cushion over.
I've been brave that day.
Okay.
Anyway. What's the plot? So we moved to the prone bone, can I say that, position?
The prone bone!
So we're just saying your erection was out and about.
Yeah, so she was on her front.
Yeah.
And I've mounted her on top.
Okay, yep.
Okay. I'm going at like hammer and tongs.
Okay, all right, just try and make it a little bit more romantic, but carry on, yes.
And I get a bit too... vigorous, and I come out.
Yeah.
But also, I push forward at the same time, and my penis gets wedged between her stomach and her shagpile carpet.
Oof.
There's a pop, and a rip, and I have to admit, a girly scream.
Okay, well, I doubt, if you damage your penis, it won't be a girly scream, it'll be a manly scream, wouldn't it? Because, well, I don't know, it's okay.
No. All manliness went out the window then.
Yeah.
And I've ripped my banjo string. There, you've never seen so much blood before in your life.
This is what I've heard. It's very, very bloody.
Unbelievable. And then her parents start coming down the stairs.
Ay.
I've run out the door, cook in hand. Penis in hand. And I run to my car, and I just sit there for 15 minutes staring at it until I drive off and go back to my dorm at uni.
Yes.
About 2.5 hours later, it's still bleeding.
Yeah, of course it is.
So I have to go to A&E, and the nurses, after they stopped laughing...
No, I don't believe they laughed at that.
They were, I could hear them, they didn't laugh in front of me, but behind the curtain, they were sniggering.
Okay.
I had to have an operation where they cut my frenum, put a stitch in there, and then sent me on my way. Never been in so much agony before in my life.
Did you ever go back to the girl's house?
No, I was too embarrassed. We split up over it. I could never look her in the eye again.
Well, she could look you in yours, but she had to bend a bit.
And the thing is, she had to have an awkward conversation with her parents about why this boy screamed and ran out the front row.
Well, it was, hang on a second, it was a shag pile. Hey!
No, mate.
Come on, mate.
No, mate. Across the UK, online
and on DAB. Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Nice weekend. My friends came round. I watched six Jason Statham movies this weekend. They were in the order I watched them. Death Race.
Is that real?
Sorry?
Is that real?
It's a movie.
Mm.
Lovejoy's in it. Death Race. The Mechanic.
Yeah.
The Mechanic 2.
Okay. Tricky job, was it?
Transporter.
Right.
Transporter 2.
Uh-huh.
Transporter 3. I haven't watched Transporter 4 yet. Four. To what your little girl used to. in reverse order. So that's six movies. In reverse order. So number six. I would put The Mechanic 2. Okay. Number five. If you disagree with these guys, call in. I would put The Mechanic. Okay. Number four. I would put Transporter 1. Right. Number three, I will put Death Race. Number two, I will put Transporter 3. And number one, I will put Transporter 2. So just again, for anybody taking notes.
No one.
The six, and someone said to me, well, what about Snatch? I didn't watch it. I didn't watch it, mate. I'm only putting into the list.
I've seen that.
Well, I've not seen it.
You like it. Jason Statham's in it.
I tell you what I want to watch. I want to watch Spy. It's supposed to be funny, man. It's supposed to be funny. So, reverse order. Six, it's The Mechanic 2. Five, it's The Mechanic. Four, it's Transporter 1. Three, it's Death Race. Mm. Two, it's Transporter 3.
Yeah.
And at my top Jason Statham film that I saw this weekend was Transporter 2.
Can
give
you
us
just
a call.
Run through those again?
Yes, of course I can. Number six. Oh, you're taking the piss. I get it now. Sorry, I thought it was a serious question. Interested in my life and my lifestyle. Let's go to Mike. Good evening, Mike.
Hello. Did you know the Transporter is part of a shared cinematic universe? And if you tell me which film it's from, I will write you a cheque for £1 million.
So hang on. The Jason Statham film is part of a shared cinematic universe.
Loosely, yes.
Oh, hang on a second. You're telling me it is loosely?
Yes.
How much are you going to write me a cheque for?
Listen very specifically to these words. I'm going to write you a cheque for £1 million.
And are you going to sign that cheque?
Yes.
And how am I going to get that cheque? Are you going to post it? Or am I going to drive over there and collect it?
Well, I don't believe I live either east of west of you, so you wouldn't be driving over. I will post it to Talk Radio.
I'm saying, do I have to drive over there?
No.
Drive is the cinematic universe it's part of.
Incorrect.
What do you think it is?
I know what it is.
Well, what do you think it is? Because I know it's Drive.
It's not. Oh, that Drive's a great film. I love Drive. The soundtrack's fantastic. It is Collateral with Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx. And Tom Cruise hands off a suitcase to Frank.
Oh, do you know what? You're absolutely right. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you're a dick, and I hate you. that evil laugh. Did you hear that? Ha ha ha! Because he knows. Mike knows he got one over on me. Mike knows he got, and I resorted. I apologise for resorting to playground insults, Mike.
Okay. Not to worry. It's the first time I've ever got a cinematic run over on you, so,
okay.
You know, it's the first time for you. I need to dash because I've just arrived at home and I need to get in.
Goodbye then. We can make that happen. Someone's saying you watched the worst of Stratham's movies. No, I didn't. Well, I didn't. The Transporter 3 that I watched out of the 4 were awesome. The mechanic was very dry, actually. The mechanic was dry. I didn't really enjoy that so much. Let's go to Catherine. Why don't you say hello to our good friend Lydia? Sorry?
Hello, Lydia.
Hello?
Why is everyone being really hesitant to... Have you two got beef?
We've never spoken before.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's a thing
I... good friend Lydia, like I should know...
No, it's a thing. She just put the phone down. Get her back. It's a thing I say. And we're going to go to our good friend because I'm
normally
trying...
Normally, it's when someone you don't want to talk to.
When... Because I... People...
Why are you being weird with Lydia?
Because... I'm not. You were. Because people tell me that I'm too...
Weird?
Well, no, because people tell me they stopped listening because I was too aggressive. Mm-hmm. I've become friendlier. So what I've doing, keep trying, Stuart, for goodness sakes.
It's handing over the friendliness to me.
No, I'm being friendly by saying our good friend. I've been doing that a lot. And then I just thought it'd be nice if you spoke to her. That's all.
I don't know why you...
Jeez, well, Lydia, you need to call us back here because I think her phone may have died. We'll try later on, Stuart. Thank you very much indeed. Let's go to Darren. Good evening, Darren.
Hi there. How are you doing? It?
Very, very well. Although there's a real...
Apparently, Darren's not your good friend.
You didn't hear that, Darren. You didn't hear that. That was dumb.
Darren did hear that.
Darren did not hear that. That was dumb.
You see what I had to put up with,
Darren? It's a good job I'm ex-military and I've got a thick skin, mate.
Exactly, Darren. That was not addressed to you.
That was addressed to me.
That was addressed to Catherine.
Oh, that's terrible.
Isn't it awful?
Isn't it, though?
You see what she makes me do?
Oh, I make you do that, do I?
Yes, you do.
Oh, man. I was just ringing up.
Go on, Darren.
So a couple of weeks ago, you know, I heard your on Twitter, you know, the it was obviously a retort about Greta. Is it Thunberg?
I said Thunberg. Apparently, it's a hard T. It's Thunberg. Greta Thunberg.
Yeah. No, I agree totally with what you say. Well, not totally.
Good. You're a human being. You're allowed to have nuance.
Remove some of that. But I think what that lassie's doing is great, great. You know what I mean? And she's a young woman that's going across to do that.
My main beef, just for those who missed it, was I I'm not really said that I don't necessarily agree with everything that she stands for, everything she says. Mm-hmm. My main beef was with adults, particularly men, but also some women. Woman who presents the breakfast show here was one of them. Adults belittling, mocking, wishing death upon, laughing at the way she looks, laughing at her autism, bullying a 16-year-old girl woman, however you want to address that. That was my main issue.
I agree with that. And one thing I've found, I came out of the military after about 24 years, five years ago.
Yeah.
I've been working in the civvy sector for about 5 years. Yeah. And we used to call civvies mutants because they didn't do things right.
But I
found out pretty quickly that it was me that was a mutant when I came out, because we were trying to do certain things or whatever. And it was when you started the show, you were talking about the C word and all these words that were quite normal to me, quite normal to us, because that was how we were trained and how thick-skinned we got about things because of the things we were in. And when you brought up that thing about that young lassie going across the pond, it came across to me, and I just thought, my God, there's grown-up people saying this about a young lassie that wants to save the world.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Can we not be grown up about this? And what happens is, I think we're so polarised now, and I do think people are a wee bit wet now in certain things. But, you know, each and every person to their own, and we should debate that properly.
Yeah.
But, you know, swearing. I can be mad, and I'm from Glasgow, and...
Oh, well, in Glasgow, the C word is almost a term of endearment, isn't it?
it's quite an endearing word in Glasgow.
Yeah.
Right? But when I've listened to myself swearing, or I listen to people do it now, after a while, I cringe. And I, you know, after all the things I've done, you know, I mean, I've been to Afghanistan, Kosovo, Iraq, and Northern Ireland, and you know, we've done all those things, mate. But, you know, taking the piss out of a wee lassie going across there just to try and make the life better for the world. And if I might say, I don't agree totally with the way you said it and all that.
Yeah.
But then again, that's your point of view, big man, you know.
And well done. I'm saying well done. This is what we used to be like. Well done for saying in a polite way you didn't agree with everything. That's all right. Yeah. That's all right. We're allowed to disagree about stuff. We're completely allowed to disagree about stuff. And it sounds like we do share some common ground. That is brilliant. And there are bits of where we don't share. That's great. And I really appreciate you, Darren, saying it in a non-aggressive way.
It's such a bad, you know, when I look at Britain nowadays, you know, for 25 years, I thought, you know, this is my country, and all my pals were from all different creeds and societies, and we all lived in the same dot, you know, and I was really, I've lived in places like Brunei and Cyprus and everything where I loved the cultures and all that, and I don't espouse to being someone that's polarised, racist or anything. I'm just an ex-squaddy that, you know, I've got a decent job now, but, you know, I still want my country to be safe and I want, you know,
can I ask you a
things
question,
to go
Darren?
Well, mate, you know.
Can I ask you a question? Are you on Twitter?
Yeah. I had to get off of Twitter.
Yeah.
This month I sacked it because what was happening is because I would say certain things, all of a sudden I had these right-wing extremists following me,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And you got the polarised left-wing Antifa mob as well. And I just had to get away from that because it was just really bad.
It's good for you. And the reason I suspected that you weren't because Twitter, I think, is the main culprit. That's simplifying it a lot, but let's just focus on that for a second. Twitter is the main culprit of this thing that we reference a bit on the show, the whole binary thing. You're in or out, you're on, you're off, you're black or white. There is no room for nuance or subtlety on there. You are either yes or no. And I'm not talking about Brexit.
Yeah.
I'm talking about any argument, whether it's religion or it's race or it's what your favourite sandwich is. You are yes, you are no, and the opposite team are the enemies. And there's no room for what you just did. There's no room for going, well, yeah, you say your favourite is cheese sandwich.
Yeah.
I don't mind a bit of cheese, but I prefer jam, but I respect your opinion on cheese sandwiches. There's no room for that. You like a cheese sandwich? Well, then you're a paedophile because I like jam sandwiches and you should be sent home. Is that?
I got to the stage where I just went, I'm getting into this and I'm getting all these mad people from, like, I don't know, what do they call it, Britain First or whatever, kind of following me. And I was like, hey, I'm not having any of that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm proud of, don't get me wrong, I'm proud of being British and I'm proud of being Scottish.
Okay.
And more so British. I'm proud of being a person in the world. I love everything to do with the world. But, you know, when you've got all these characters, these people, they're not even has-beens. They, you know, they start logging on to you or following you and saying, all right, mate, you know, I mean, blah, blah, blah.
Hang on. Was that your attempt at an English accent? I do have to voice out a bit. That was outrageous.
Well, we love the Nuneaton as well, so I've got a bit of a Coventry accent as well I could do, but...
Hang on, Kath, go on, Kath.
Can I ask a question? Why do you think they were latching onto you? Were they seeing the ex-military thing and making assumptions?
Yeah, I think so, you know, because it's a bit sad nowadays that we can't be the proud who we are as a country and a nation and who we are, and we have to feel sorry for ourselves. And what they do is they latch onto that, I think. And, I'm proud of any man, woman, child, or anything, of whatever culture, you know. We used to love, you know, I used to love talking to all sorts of people from any culture. One of my best pals, whose family was from Trinidad and Tobago and all that, and I was more interested in where their family came from and what happened.
Mm.
From the colour of his skin, you know, and we were obsessed. And quite frankly, he used to give me more grief for being a pasty jock with ginger hair than, you know, him being a black guy from Basingstoke who happened to have a family from Trinidad and Tobago. So, in a roundabout way, what they do is they try to latch on to this patriotism and try to turn it as that everybody's against you, you know, watch out, you know. But most blokes in the military, and women, sorry, I should say, we're not like that.
No.
We're ex-army, we're pretty raw, and we do swear badly, and we do call each other bad names and stuff, and that's from down to us being in some places where it can get pretty rubbish.
Oh, I don't even want to know what you lot have seen. I could not even begin to imagine the things that you have seen and the stuff. I just can't imagine. And I have nothing but gratitude for what you've done. I may not agree with all of the conflicts you've been involved in, but that's almost irrelevant.
Sometimes neither do.
No, exactly. But I have nothing but gratitude.
That's free society. That's free society.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I'm happy for someone to say that to me.
But I appreciate and I respect and I'm grateful for you going there.
And I had it, to be honest, most of my time in the military, 25 years, was pretty cool. To be honest. No one forced me to do that job, mate. Do you know? I joined up to do that job to go and have a bit of excitement and stuff like that. And yeah, I have my problems after that and whatever, but that's what we've done to, you know, it's just like someone becoming a minor or you becoming an international superstar on radio, television.
A couple of really good mates of mine went in the army. And it was the making of them at some points, and at some points it was, you know, part of their life that they wouldn't go back and repeat. But they said that when they're actually in conflict, they weren't really fighting for Queen and Country, they were fighting for their mates. You're looking out for your mates.
You go out there because it's your job, and you're like that because you want medals, and as that great documentary a few years back about tornado pilots and back for tea and medals and all that. You want your medals. You want to sit in the, you know, a pub back in the UK going, sweetheart, I've done this and all that. That's what you do. It's a bit like a racing car driver or whatever. And after a while, when I got married and had kids, that started to go away. And places like Afghanistan become a drain.
Yeah.
Became problems and it started to affect your lives and all that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, be glass half full. And that's what we're trained to be. We were trained to be glass half full, get out. And that's what's made me survive in normal civvy life. I've got a great life in Civvy Street. Is it as fantastic as it was in the army? No, it's pretty boring. It's pretty vanilla. You know, but I come home at the end of the day, the missus is happy as Larry, you know, because she's got my credit card.
Beautiful.
You know what I mean? Happy days.
Yeah.
But.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Good evening, Alan.
Are you both okay?
Yep.
Did you watch Britain's Got Talent of Champions on Saturday?
Did I watch what?
But he's got talent for champions.
No, I think that programme exploits mentally ill people and the vulnerable and promises false hope.
Although this one wasn't that. This one was everyone who's won all around the world.
Yeah,
so
well.
Some good tricks. I saw a couple.
Who was your favourite from last Saturday?
You what?
Who was your favourite from last Saturday?
I quite liked the man with the high hair that did the thing running around the wheel with his daughter.
Is that Bella and Annalise?
Yes, I think.
My favourite was Paul Pot.
Oh, was he on it? I only saw two things.
Yeah, he's done a bit of opera.
Well, of course he did. That's what he does.
And next week, on Saturday, Lost Boy Scout's going to be on.
Won't be watching it. We're working.
Saturday the 7th, where Catherine and I will be live in Bath at the Rondo Theatre. There are 19 tickets left. 19 tickets left. We will be live this coming Saturday, about 7:30, I think it is. 2-hour show. Free meet and greet afterwards, and that's it.
And good times had by all.
Good times are had by all, baby.
IanLee.com/events if you want to get your tickets.
IanLee.com, I'll say that, IanLee.com/event. If people want to come along, they'd be very, very welcome. What a night. What a night it's going to be.
Sounds promising. I'm still waiting for you to come to Birmingham.
You'll be waiting a while.
Because I'll personally get a sandwich board and sell tickets for you.
Oh, he wants a cut, does he?
A small percentage.
That's not going to happen, you piece of trash. You goddamn piece of trash. How dare you? How dare you want a small percentage of the fortune that Catherine and I make from these wonderful, wonderful shows?
Well, this is by order of the Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders, my chuddies. We haven't got any plans to come to Birmingham, but we might come at some point.
Sounds promising.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Thank you.
Bye. That was it. Let's go to Chris. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening. Hi there.
Hello, Chris. What can we do for you?
I like listening to that serviceman.
He was good, wasn't he?
Yeah. You know, my brother got hurt when he was in services. And I've met people who've been blown up.
And show off.
Oh, Dave. No. This person, he completely lost his eyesight.
Oh.
He did. And he was an happy chappy. He was, yeah. Anyway, I'm not Chris from South Wales. I'm Mark from Birmingham.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you an embarrassing story.
Hey, here we go. We're going to get a sexual injury from Chris, from Mark, yeah, from Birmingham.
I know. I'm going red now. I can feel it.
Oh, no, don't feel it, mate. Not while we're talking. That's inappropriate.
You know what I mean? I must have only been about 21. And I'm getting embarrassed even talking about it now.
Hey, listen, you're amongst friends. We're going to listen sensitively. We're not going to laugh. We're just going to sit here.
Well, you can laugh if you want to.
We're not going to laugh, Mark. We're going to be... we are going to take this sensibly. We are going to listen like friends. Like good friends. Where you go, Chris? Let's
tell us about when you broke your penis, Mark.
It was slightly like that, Catherine. It was, and I ended up in, you know, it was a lovely woman I was with, and I thought, oh, I got to do something about this. This is not right.
Darkness falls across the land. It's 10 o'clock, says the little hand. The ordinary folk will turn out the light, happy to go gently into that good night. Not so the night people, funky but neat. For them, the hour is deliciously sweet. Kick off your slippers, don't go to bed. The party is just starting. You can sleep when you're dead. Set free your mind, let your fancy take flight. Conversation gets curiouser by the glow of moonlight. It's electric, it's eclectic, it's always rule-free. It's the late-night alternative with that man, Ian Lee. Get all thriller, no filler, Night Dog. That's like nothing else on the radio. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. Weeknights from 10 on Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Here we go. Let's have them all up. 0344-499-1000 if you want to give us a call. That is the new... Is that the single, Jake, from My Life Story?
Well, in this day and age, you release singles every other week when you put an album out, but that was the last single, yes. That's the digital single.
Come a little bit closer to our crappy mics.
Get
nice and sexy. Get intimate with me.
Okay.
Jake Shillingford, My Life Story. We've been banging on about My Life Story for... I don't know, Catherine, the last 6 months or so, it feels like. I'm a huge fan. You, are vaguely aware.
Yeah, I'm new.
You're new, and I will just keep
is
going.
Is that because you've made her?
Yes, it is.
I think it might be.
Yes, it is. I keep going, oh, listen to this one. Oh, listen. And she's like, yes, it's really great. Yeah, okay, it's good. Right, okay. But so we've been playing you a lot, man. And I tell you why. It's because we had the lovely Jim Bob from Carter in talking about his book, who's just the most delightful gentleman out there. And my life story, your band, you got a mention in the book. Now, I was a huge fan, right? I was a huge fan. Never came and saw you live, but I had all the albums. And there was a rumour when I was at college that one of my friends knew you and you were going to be at a party. Jake, oh, yeah, the guy from My Life Story is going to be at a party. And I didn't go because I was a bit nervous. I don't think you turned up. Anyway.
Do you think they really knew him?
I don't know. Did you know a girl called Ronnie from Middlesex University? You won't remember. It's 20 years ago. I'd forgotten about you, Jake, if I'm completely honest. In this fickle world of pop, I'd forgotten. And
I prevented you from going to a party. I don't blame you.
You scumbag. And I thought, well, I wonder, a few years down the line, I wonder how these records are going to sound. Because a lot of stuff from the mid-90s, some of it doesn't stand up very well, but man alive, yours is deliciously swaggering in its arrogance. It's wonderful, man. The stuff still stands up.
Thank you.
And now you've got a new album out.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the new album. Let's sell this bad boy, because it's great. It's absolutely brilliant. It's coming out next week, is it?
Or
is
it coming out tomorrow?
Yeah. Go on, what's it called?
It's called World Citizen.
Yeah.
And it's 19 years since we released an album, but ironically, I wrote all the lyrics in June.
What, of this year?
Yeah.
Well, geez, come on, man, what have you been doing?
Okay, we'll go back to what I've been doing. So what I have been doing, I still do music.
Yeah.
I've been mainly composing with a wonderful songwriter called Nick Evans.
Mm.
And the two of us write music for telly, film, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
We had music on like Homeland, through Showtime in the US. We had our first feature film called Bloodfest, which is, I mean, composing music for a horror movie is something, just for the listeners, obviously, you don't just write a piece of music, you have to relive the clips over and over and over again, and poor Nick had to sort of subject himself to the, you know, heads being decapitated over and over. It's like something out of Clockwork Orange, you know.
God. Sort
of. So we composed this, our first feature film, Bloodfest for Rooster Teeth, which was last year.
Oh, we're big fans of Rooster Teeth.
Oh, my God.
They do a brilliant series called
That was
Dave.
A proper woo. That
yeah,
was
no.
in
oh, no.
stereo.
What's the name of it? What's his name? The guy that we've been on the show.
Owen? Josh. Owen Egerton.
Josh Flanagan. Okay. They do a brilliant show called Day 5, where there's a deadly virus out there, and if you fall asleep, you die.
Yeah. That's...
And it's Day 5 of that. So Rooster Teeth are a great people to work with.
Yeah, and I don't know if you remember, but Rooster Teeth, the way they started was that they... Was it Halo? They used a game as the footage. So they made little figures.
Yeah.
And they were the actors in there. What an amazing
It's a really good attitude with that company. It's really creative. Mm-hmm. You've been... Isn't that funny? It all links up.
Our first feature film.
Yeah.
Our first one. Done it.
And it's instrumentals, is it, for the film?
For the film, yeah.
How do you do that? Is it that thing where you're sat there, like, playing guitar and it's got to hit it at the right time, or...?
Or is it like with the old-fashioned way they used to do television theme tunes, like Blind Date, Blind... You know, like, they used to sing that, didn't they?
They did used to sing. Who wants to be a millionaire?
So do you do, like, now I'm gonna cut
off
your hair?
Which is it, Jake? Tell us. We need to know.
I think I might know.
I just love the idea of sort of like, nah, 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 bah, bah, nah, bah, 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 sort of Bon Tempe organ 1970s music all over a horror film. In fact, Rooster Teeth would have loved that.
Yeah, of course they would have done.
No, I think the brief with that one was sort of quite a sort of John Carpenter, you know, kind of score. So, listeners will know, some will know, Leitmotif, which is, you know, a recurring theme. Just like a chorus in a pop song, really. So, you know, yeah, we worked on sort of recurring themes throughout the film. And that was a really great thing. So we've done a number of stuff like that. We've got, what's the thing we've just got on the trailer? That's for,
F-
farming.
That's the voice of Natasha, Jake's manager, who is in the studio but does not want to be on the radio, and you've just forced her to be on the radio.
And she said the word farming.
Farming. There you go. You can chip in any time you want. I know you don't want to, but any time you want, you're welcome. Just shout out or push him out the way when he starts gabbing on too much.
Yeah, and I will do that. Farming, we've just composed the trailer for Farming, so, which is the new Skinhead, I don't know if you know, it's a new film, all about Skinheads in Tilbury.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a bit like, Made in Britain, you know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that right?
This is England.
England. Made in Britain is written on the back of my shirt.
In Marks and Spencer's shirts, yes.
Yeah.
Not saying your shirts are from Marks and Spencer's, I'm talking St. Michael's generally. It's a very nice shirt you got on. I'd expect nothing less.
So we're so used to sort of writing for clients. I think, you know, it's been a long time, sort of 6 or 7 years. And I think it sort of came to a point where Nick and I, well, first of all, you don't write lyrics when you're writing music for film and TV.
Right.
You know, you're, and also you're interpreting a brief. So you're really trying to get in the head of the director or the producer. You're trying to translate, you know, what's going on in their synapses. They change their minds. You're going on a journey with them. And that, in a way, that is a very fulfilling thing. If you suddenly realize someone's dream, it's really, really rewarding. But of course, the other thing is, you know, I started off, you know, my life story actually started when I was, I came up with the name My Life Story when I was at an Icicle Works concert at the Marquee, and I think I was 16.
Wow.
And Ian McNabb said, during a ballad, doesn't anybody want to hear My Life Story? Because they were all going to the bar.
There you go. There you go.
And I thought, that's a great name for a band. Yeah. And I was only a kid, so it's been going since then. So in my heart, I've always, you know, self-expression obviously has been a really important thing. So I guess, you know, after, you know, we're grown up enough now to have our own studio. We're based in Brighton. And, you know, we've got the bits and bobs. You know, we've still got a stylophone, an original Rolf Harris stylophone. In fact, we recorded stylophone on one of the tracks, and I reckon that it's only the second use of a stylophone in a commercially released record.
The other one, of course, being Catherine.
Space Oddity.
There we go. Good. Well done, you see. Yes.
What do I win?
You win the respect of two men.
Yeah, only one of which was clapping. That was me.
The new album is a joy. I was saying, you know, whenever a band, I like a lot of old bands, Beach Boys and Monkees and all that, and whenever one of my bands, releases a new album after several years, there's always that hesitancy when you put the CD in, and you go, oh, is this going to be a stinker? And sometimes they're stinkers. Such a relief. That yours is brilliant. Mm. World Citizen is the title, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good. And I mean, it's a My Life Story record again, you know, 19 years later.
What are the bits? So, I mean, you know, you've been really honest.
Yes.
You say you're a fan. You know. What are the bits to you?
Yeah.
That are the My Life Story bits. I don't know anymore.
The lyrics. I'm going to misquote this slightly, but you look just like a million filthy, dirty dollars stood in front of me. As I know I've got that slightly wrong. But that's just... I tell you what's in there as well. And it's so nice to meet you, because you're quite down to earth, right? You're a nice guy.
Okay.
But in a lot of the music, the earlier music more so, but there's still a bit of it there. There's a real cocky swagger.
Oh, yeah.
There's a real arrogance.
Yeah.
And I was worried that arrogance was going to be, was it ever you? Were you ever that arrogant?
No, I use it as a coping mechanism.
Really?
Yeah, because it's funny actually. There's, you know, the Britpop thing is all around us, isn't it? You know, there's all these reunion tours that are fantastic, and lots of bands are reforming to go back on tour. And so, that, you know, there's a bit of a top with a lot of young people getting into those groups. But when I cast my mind back, when I reminisce of those times, I wasn't prepared for the kind of schoolboy bullying and just
from the other bands.
Yeah, of some other bands.
Yeah.
Not all of the other, but some. And it's funny because I'm in my 50s now, and I know a few reasonably famous people from other decades.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, you know, we have a sort of chat about this thing, and I was talking to Steve Norman from Spandau Ballet, mm-hmm. who actually played
he's on the album, isn't he?
Played on the album. And I love talking to it, because, you know, Duran Duran, Spandau Ballet, you know, come on, you know, dish the dirt. And he's like, I've got nothing to say. They're all my friends. We're really close friends. We've lived through a decade together, the highs and the lows. And we use, you know, we use television, and we, you know, they were intelligent in the way that they used that. And I think, I mean, the books I've read about the Beatles and the Stones and all of
that. There was a rivalry, but there was also a friendship and a friendly competition. Based on that, we're going to do that.
Yeah, we're going to. But when it came to Britpop, I promise you, like, the life that I led through it, there was, you know,
the whole generation taking on the world. There was.
It didn't feel like we were a unified, even though that it was perceived in that way and books are written in that way.
It wasn't a movement as such.
No, and I think that, and in a way, even in the movement, even the people that sort of, you know, I have a lot of theories about this. I think one of the things about it was that, I don't think anybody believed in their wildest dreams that we would even sign to a major label. I'm not talking about just My Life Story, we signed to EMI, but all the other bands, I don't think we were following on from all these indie bands, you know, that had signed to Creation. That would have been the pinnacle. And then all these other sort of little, you know, bedroom record labels, you know, the floodgates open and we were all allowed to sign, you know, I mean, My Life Story spent, it's a slight regret. People ask me if I have any regrets. We never hit the million with EMI. We spent £900,000 in a year and a half.
Wow.
Yeah.
You should have done another video for 100 grand or something.
Videos in 1996 were on average £80,000.
Isn't that amazing?
I live in Brighton and a three bedroom, a terraced house.
Yeah.
One of the colourful ones. Nice bit in the middle. At that time, I've done my research, they were the same price. So each video we did was a house.
And you'd have a lot more money now if you'd
have
bought.
We did eight videos, so it's Monopoly.
You'd have a street. and I don't need to name any names, but I've heard this before.
Have you heard it? Have you honestly?
I've heard that. Okay. I'm going to say Blur.
Yeah.
Were particularly.
Some of Blur.
There was. And I've heard this from a few people, but the most outstanding thing was when Keith Flint from The Prodigy passed away.
Yeah.
And James Blunt, of all people, came out and said, I was at an awards ceremony and Damon Albarn said he'd rather eat dog shit or something than, you know, and somebody else from this band said this and no one would want to be on the stage with me. And Keith Flint from The Prodigy shook my hand and went and bought me a drink and said, well done, son, you're doing well. Something like that.
Mm.
And I've heard a few stories about some members from Blur. I mean, there was a lot. Again, we don't have to go into too many details. I was on TV in the late 90s and the early 2000s. There was a lot of cocaine going around, and I think that is one of is such a non-creative, selfish drug. It makes people very, very mean. And I'm not asking for your personal history, but in the 90s in pop, there was a lot of that flying around. I wonder if that was part of the problem.
I think there's probably a mixture of a lot of things, insecurity from a lot of people. But I guess my general point is that. To answer your initial question, is that, you know, now I'm not really part of that. I mean, I think my point was that I was never prepared for it. So it was always a shock for me.
Disappointing, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
There was
a funny moment. I was asked to DJ for a Britpop club called Starshaped. They said, look, it's this really funny story. They're really sweet. I love them. So I thought that I was going to bring some records that shape, because I didn't buy any records during the Britpop era because I was in a band getting on with it. And they were like, yeah, you're going to play some like Britpop records. So I was like, I don't have any, you know, I just don't have any. And so I'm there with me, Scott Walker's on one arm and me, Julian Cope's on the other, you know, and they were like, no, and they had this sort of fairly strict guidelines. I think it starts at, Last of the Famous International Playboys by Morrissey, I think is the earliest record.
Okay.
And then it sort of goes into Embrace. I think. So it sort of goes that arc.
Yes.
And, So anyway, I had to, I couldn't bring any of my records. So I did a deal with him. I said, like, okay, I'll use your record collection, but I'm only going to play records of the bands that were nice to My Life Story.
That's brilliant.
It didn't last.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Go. I'm not gonna give out the number because I'm enjoying. We'll introduce you to Nigel from Maidstone. Nigel's a singer as well. You might, if we're lucky.
And songsmith.
And he's a songsmith, isn't he? He might sing for us.
Right.
We've got Jake Shellingford here. My Life Story. There is a new album out, World Citizen. Mm-hmm. Let's do the business, and we're going to tweet the hell out of this as well. Where is the best place? Where do you get more money in your pocket if people go and buy it?
Come to our website. MyLifeStory.band.
There you go.
Done.
MyLifeStory.band. And there's CD, there's vinyl.
Everything.
You're not buying into that cassette nonsense, are you?
Don't.
Good.
No.
Good. Good. That's a fad. The cassettes were always crap. They were good for making mixtapes for your mates. But you'd never go and buy a new, an album on a cassette.
No. End of. Nothing else to say.
It's done.
It's although, so hipster.
I had a box full.
I made you a mixtape about 6 months ago.
I was thrilled. You didn't use the stickers.
I'm not very good at decorating the box, but I like making.
It's part of the thing, isn't it? You've got to decorate the box.
What do you think? Do you think, like, when you received a mixtape, I made mixtapes for girls.
I bet you did. I bet you were good at it as well.
Oh, I was really good.
Yeah, the master.
I spent ages on it. I really did. I probably spent more time on that than on the girl. as the receiver of a mixtape.
Yeah.
Do you think you got as much pleasure and satisfaction as myself or Ian making it as a super
as the maker.
Question? That's good. Yeah. There was a lot of passion. It was like making an album almost. This one's got fun. No, this one's too fast. I need to break it up with this.
Well, in my case, when I was a kid, I don't know how much thought they put into them, the lads that I was going out with. Some of them had, there were some weird choices in the middle of it. I go, oh, I think he might like me. I think he might like me. Oh, God, what's he put that in there for? But it was always a pleasure to receive. It was always interesting, little insight into someone's mind.
You got to do a couple of juicy ones that you know they're going to like before you go a little bit avant-garde, a little bit, this is taking a risk, and then a couple of the ones they're going to like again, and then, all right, well, this is going to be a real tester. If she points out this one, I know that we've got a connection.
Yeah, if it's just a straight, like, recording of someone's album, crap
out. No. I always put a nice schmaltzy ballad, a little sexy one in there.
Yeah. What would be your sexy choice when you were making mixtapes back in the day?
Not Marvin Gaye, that's too obvious.
So it's too obvious.
Sexual Healing, you're not going to whack that on the end,
are
you?
No, it's too obvious.
My favourite song of all time is Sexual Healing. give the tape to the girl, 14 years old.
What's he trying to say?
Yeah, that'd be the one where
I wonder what the next song is. Oh, it's Sexual Healing again.
The 12-inch remix. what is this? You've been nudged, you've got to tell us.
Okay.
Something.
We've got an exclusive for you.
Oh, here we go. This
and
is
we
exciting.
Need your listeners to help us.
Okay.
This is honestly all true. Yeah. I'm not going to. I'm going to try not to embellish this story.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So we were talking earlier about Exile Inside, which was this sort of solo project that I did after My Life Story.
Yeah.
So there's two albums by Exile Inside. The first album, I was recording it. And I was recording it, actually, in the same place as Mark Armand, big hero and friend and supporter of the band as well. Mark recommended a studio in Greek Street above a brothel, which is standard Mark Armand. Fair enough.
Expect nothing less from Mr. Armand.
Exactly. So above this brothel was a recording studio quite near the Gay Hazard. Do you know that bar?
I do know. Yeah, I do know. Yeah.
So we were. Oh, I always love that name for a bar. So we were recording the album up there, and it was a bit smelly. It smelled of urine coming in.
Okay. It could have been worse.
It smelled of urine.
Smell something else. Okay.
No, it didn't smell good. So anyway. I can't believe I'm going to tell you the story. This
I can't
is the
believe
first
I'm in the
time.
Studio with Jake from My Life Story. This is such a thrill to him. I'm such a fanboy. And he's telling us something outrageous.
Yeah, this is a big story. It's not even outrageous. It's amazing.
Okay.
So, we're recording. So I wrote a song called Katrin. Yeah. And I'm going to send it to you tonight.
Thank you.
It's actually on Spotify. So if any of your listeners want to go on Spotify, and type in Exile Inside and Katrin.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's a song, it's in 6/8, and it's a song all about 6/8 time signature. So it's like dum 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 dum. And it's,
you just sang House of the Rising Sun there, you know, that's intro to that. you ripped that off.
God, I'm now in trouble. so it's all about, a girl called Katrin it's a fictitious school friend, and it's about growing old, and it's about looking back at your youth. Okay. Yeah. So the end coda of the song, I thought, I know what I want to do. I want some school kids to come in and sing the end coda, the beautiful chorus at the end, as a reflection of this sort of old man singing. It's a little bit of that sort of 60s style, Jimmy Webb style songwriting. So, Roxana, our lovely trumpet player in My Life Story, when My Life Story split up, she took on a teaching job in Balham. And I said, Rox, you're teaching, can you get me some school kids? Absolutely no problem. What do you need? I said, about 10 or 11, not number, age.
Yes.
Maybe two girls, two boys, something like that. So she goes, absolutely fine. So she brings these kids up. And what's funny about it was obviously that we've got these kids in the red light district.
Yeah, in a very naughty area.
So we get them upstairs through the sort of piss-stinking sort of corridor of this place. Next to the Gay Hussar. We get them upstairs. And it was quite funny because they were a bit feral. And the windows were open on the roof.
Yeah.
Because right on the roof, you know, the sort of grey extension that they put on that place. So the roof was open and they were climbing out of the roof, climbing on the tiles. It was one of those.
Jeez.
Grabbing these monkeys and pulling them back in and, you know. Anyway, so we finally got down to recording this end, coda, and the lyrics were, when are you coming out to play Katrin? So it's like, you know, it's all about sort of, you know, the morning. Maybe a lonely man that was wishing that he still had his friends at school, that kind of thing. So anyway, these kids started singing. And at the end of it, I took all their names down. I said, thanks, folks. There was one particular girl, actually. She was really great. She was like the sort of leader, really. So I said, she was like, I'll get you all your names. I'll write them all down. So she wrote all the names down. And I said, I'm going to give you credit on the record. So credit to all these names.
Beautiful.
And
a share of the millions that it no doubt made, of course, yes.
Yeah. So that's the end of the story for now.
Yeah. Okay.
Then about a year ago, a fan of My Life Story contacted me and said, I think you need to look at your liner notes.
Uh-oh.
You really need to read them.
Uh-oh. What have you done?
So I open up, I get the CD, I open up the liner notes. He goes, read who's sung on your record. So I start looking down. Adele Adkins. First ever recording.
I did not see that coming. No way.
I think I've recorded Adele's first ever record. And there's your exclusive.
That's amazing.
So,
well, how do we monetize this, Jake? There's got to be.
I don't think she needs it.
No.
I want him to get a percentage of her millions.
No, what? Okay, so here's the next thing.
Has anyone got Adele's number? Call us now.
As soon as I heard, I live in Brighton.
Yeah.
And Adele, to my knowledge at that time, I think still lived in Brighton. In fact, I knew the rough area where she lived.
Yeah.
And I cycle a lot. I was going to do this thing where I was going to put the CD in a bag and just cycle to her house and knock on her door. I mean, it's one of two or three doors.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it'd be quite cute.
That'd be lovely.
But then someone told me she moved, and I didn't know where she moved. So at this time, I just want to give her, because we've got about, Natasha, how many copies of the album do we have left, physical copies?
Literally about four or five.
Yeah, so world. I want to get a copy to Adele.
Yeah.
Is there anybody that's listening that could perhaps help us out, or anybody at Talk Radio?
Let's try. This is a long shot. Nigel.
Oh, how are you going?
Do you know where Adele lives?
No, certainly not. I don't know if I don't live in London, do I?
No, I think she might live in America somewhere now.
Oh, I think she's in New York somewhere.
Okay, well, that's a start. We're closer than we thought we were going to be. So if anyone knows how we can get in touch with Adele.
Yeah.
So that is amazing.
It is.
Did she have
crazy.
A voice then? She must have had a voice then.
I genuinely remember her as being, I mean, all I remember is that she was you know, a really strong leader, and yeah. she was very confident.
Yeah.
And she must have been about 11, yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
And when I contacted Rox about this, the My Last Story's trumpet player who, you know, who got her from school,
yeah.
And obviously fans of Adele that are listening to the show will know that she went to Balham before she went to the Brit School.
Yeah.
And even though she's from Tottenham, obviously, but Balham, the other side of London, but she did study there as a kid. So it all, yeah, it is her. I mean, it is her.
That's
so
incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know, it's so weird.
And just think, she could, like, pay off our mortgages without even thinking about it. That would be like nothing to her.
I just would like
I know, that's not why you're doing it, but I'm just thinking, if there's any associated glory with
this. I'm so glad you're not my manager. or am I?
We're going to take a quick break and we've got a little bit more from My Life Story. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Here we go. Here we go. Ah, yeah, yeah. I had a little bit of a man crush going on there. What a nice guy. Isn't it funny? I was so nervous because you watch those early My Life Story videos and stuff. There's a real arrogance and a cockiness. And you're always thinking, I wonder what that's going to be like in real life. And I would say 99 times out of 100, you are confronted with a very softly spoken, very gentle soul. And that's exactly what we got there. That's Jake Shillingford, My Life Story. The new album is an absolute joy. MyLifeStory.band. Hello, Catherine.
Hello.
How are you? Is it me you're looking for? I just got to see your ass.
My what?
Your eyes. I just got to see your nose. And I gotta say, God only knows. Oh, he's done some doodles. Ooh, we're selling that. Wasn't he lovely?
Yeah.
Wasn't he lovely? I was just saying, you're never quite sure. The first few albums are so cocky and so arrogant and so wonderful. Yeah, you got problems?
I don't think he was on camera.
Was he on camera there, James? Was he on camera? He was on camera.
All right,
he
cool.
was on camera. And I'm always like, it's like with Luke Haynes. Luke Haynes' books made me laugh and terrified
but
me.
But also, yeah, you were terrified that he wouldn't like you.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
that you wouldn't, I don't know, that you wouldn't yeah. gel or whatever, but...
They were absolutely delightful.
They had a really good time.
Oh, good. I'm so pleased. Hey, we've got some good news, right? So the transcript book that we've been working on for ages, we finally put it up for sale. This is an idea. Sorry, we haven't been on for 2 days and we're doing a really quite a niche hard work show. This is not fun for a lot of people who've never listened before. Do you know what? Tough. So we've put out this book. We've been working on this book for a long time of transcripts from this show. Nigel, I will come to you in a second, I promise. And this all came about because someone complained to Ofcom because I called someone a sex offender. Someone invited me around to the house for tea.
Oh, no, you sound like a sex offender.
Someone complained to Ofcom. Wasn't upheld. They never are. But we got sent the transcript or the complaint was put onto a public website and the transcript of that was put as part of the complaint. And me and Kath read it off air because we're sensible like that. Or maybe we did it on air actually. And we just were rolling about the floor laughing. You take this conversation out of context, out of, you know, the studio and you read it. It is funny. And so we thought, I wonder if we could do a whole book of this nonsense. And some of you, loads of you actually, very, very kindly said, okay, we'll take a bit of are my headphones feeding back? Is that, oh, okay. We'll take a favorite phone in, we'll take a favorite call and we'll transcribe it for you. And that you did. Thank you. Some of them needed a bit of editing, which Catherine did. Thank you. Then I kind of put it all together as a book and on Lulu, this website, lulu.com, and, formatted it and it, la, 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 la. It's on sale today. Went on sale at 3:00. I need to just, I don't think it's quite in the Lulu algorithms yet. I'm going to just go, if I go to lulu.com and search, I don't think it quite shows up. Let me have a look. I'm going to type in the late night alternative and let's see if it shows up, in the algorithms. Yet Lulu is search. Oh, boom! There you go. It's the first one that comes up. The late night alternative, right? You type that in to lulu.com. It comes up. Okay. It's selling for $12.99. plus postage. I think of that £12.99, Lulu take most of it, and I think we get, it's something like £5.79 or £5.99, I'll double check later, profit, right? So we get, for every book that is sold, we get £5.79 profit.
Except we don't get it.
Where's it going?
Samaritans.
Saved my life several times, we've talked about them a lot, and I know a lot of you have benefited from the Samaritans. So every penny that we make, we're going to give to the Samaritans. Now, this means it's probably going to, we've spent a few quid already getting stuff formatted. I don't think there's like a tax. I think I've got to pay tax on that money that the book, 'cause it's going to go into my bank account. So I'll pay tax on it. I'm happy to take that hit, right? Went on sale at 3 o'clock this afternoon. We sold 112 copies.
What?
£650.50 for the Samaritans already.
Now, we thought we'd be pushing it to get 100
copies. I thought over like a few weeks we'd sell 100 and that would be it. We've sold 112 in like 8 hours. 113 now. I can see it going up in live time. That is amazing. Genuinely, it's not me being, oh guys, that's I'm genuinely, but that's £656.88. We're going to make a grand easy for the Samaritans, I think. It's a really nice book. It's something like 270 pages. We are absolutely thrilled with how it looks. Thank you everyone that sent one in. If your piece is in the book, you get a name check, your name is under it. It's incredible. If you go to lulu.com, late night alternative, you get it there. Now, I think you can buy it from Amazon. I think you can buy it from other places. Here's the thing. Amazon take a much bigger cut. So if you bought it for the same, if you bought it on Amazon, we'd get like £2.50, which is great, and it'll go to the Samaritans, but that's less than half what you get if you buy it from Lulu.com. So I really, really appreciate it, Lulu.com. We can't do signed copies because I haven't physically got them. The way Lulu works is every time a book is ordered, it prints up a book. That's it. It's not like a big warehouse full of them. Every time a book is ordered, it prints up a book. So we can't sign them. However, if you see us in the street, if you come to one of our live shows, we will sign it for you. Please don't send them into work here, because then it gets complicated and they might get lost and blah, 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 blah. But come to one of our live shows, you see us in the street, I'm assuming they're always going to be carrying our book around with them, come and grab us, we would be thrilled.
They won't be carrying the book around, it'll be under their pillows.
There are some sexy bits actually in there, if that's what you're thinking.
No, I didn't mean that. I mean,
but
you know,
also,
late night reads.
On a personal level, we got a book out.
Yeah.
On if your ego level, we got a book out. And it looks wicked.
You haven't even mentioned who's written a little foreword for us.
Oh God! John Dredge. Dredge, who phones in, has written a foreword for us. And some bloke called Bob Mortimer. He just sent it in.
Some listener
called Bob Mortimer. And Bob Mortimer's written a really lovely foreword about us and about the show. And Bob's in the book. Dredge is in the book. Keith Fast Running's first call is in the book. I'm so thrilled. It looks beautiful. In all honesty, me and Kath have done very, very little compared to what you guys have done in terms of transcribing it. And Kath's done more. I've done nothing. Kath's done a bit and you lot have done a lot. And I really, really appreciate it. And we are still at some point, probably not this year, but at some point we would like to do an evening where people reenact the phone calls, but take them out of a phone-in studio, put them at a bus stop, put them on the Titanic, but you know, put them somewhere different. Anyway, lulu.com. Type in the late night alternative. It pops up. It's got a green cover. There's a picture of me and Kath sat in my back garden, and it's I'm thrilled. I'm absolutely thrilled. And you know, we've already sold 13 more than I was expecting to sell. So I'm thrilled. Over the moon. We might get to a grand for the Samaritans.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Every weeknight from 10, get an earful of unusual nocturnal emissions with radio's Lord of Misrule, Ian Lee. No relation, thank God.
The cactus and the tree and the rabbit on their hill.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Just listen and see what happens.
Tomorrow night from 10
on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Let's go to Jane. Good evening, Jane.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm on top of the world, Jane. I'm glad to be working after having two nights off because of Brexit.
Oh, well, that's why I was ringing.
Oh. Continue,
Evu,
if you play.
The right show, to be fair.
Okay, well, you've got the right show. You've got the best show. You've got the only show in town.
So. But anyhow, it was only just to say, really, that today I've, you know, I voted to leave, basically, in 2016 in the election.
Yes.
And I know it's a very sensitive subject.
Very sensitive.
Yes. I saw Boris Johnson today, and I've been watching the BBC News.
He's a bellend, isn't he?
Yeah, but the thing is, I think he's getting hammered from every angle, to be fair.
Good.
I mean, people are asking him questions, and he's answering the question five times, and they're still asking
him
the same
question. He's not, though, is he? He's not answering the questions.
Well, I think he is.
He's avoiding all of the questions. Did you see that brilliant MP for Slough, place I grew up in, picking him up on his awful, awful, racist language?
You see, I don't think he's racist. I mean, you look
you're a white middle-aged woman. Surely he wasn't.
I'm not racist, and I don't think he is either.
I didn't say you.
Jane, I didn't say you were racist.
That
he says.
Yes, I didn't say you were racist. Why would you assume? Why are you? You've gone to the defence of your against your own racism.
This is how I believe that this generation is going. You can't say anything about anybody.
What would you like to say that you think you can't say?
Well, I feel that you've just said to me that you thought I was racist.
Didn't say that.
Didn't say that at all.
Here's the problem with people. Here's the problem with people. They don't listen.
What I was saying.
They don't listen.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you don't. You're the person that's not listening. What would you like to say about people of other races that you feel you're not allowed to say? Because trust me, you're allowed to say it.
Well, I don't have any. I have friends that are Sikh, Hindu, Muslim people. Very, very close friends of mine and my family. And we don't have an issue with that.
Well, what would you like to... You just said that there's stuff you'd like to say that you're not allowed to say.
No, what I was saying was that Boris Johnson is not racist.
How do you know that? He uses racist language.
I know he isn't.
Well, come on now, Jane. I'm going to give you the evidence. Jane, can you do conversation? Or
we voted
Jane,
to leave.
Jane,
17.4
hello?
Million people
hello?
Voted to leave.
Can you do, Jane, can you do
conversation?
Yeah, okay. Well, can you do conversation?
Well, can you?
Yes, I can. It's my job. Can you do it?
I can. Go on. I'll let you finish.
Thank you. And maybe you'll respond. I've given you evidence that Boris Johnson is a racist, or certainly uses racist language. What evidence have you got that he isn't a racist?
What evidence have you got that he is?
I do not believe
that he is whatsoever.
Pickaninnies.
I think he is trying his very best.
Pickaninnies.
To honour the referendum.
Pickaninnies.
4 million people voted to leave
Pickaninnies.
I'm sorry, I'm not listening to that because you're not listening to my.
You're going off on a tangent. 17.4 million people voted to leave Europe. I've got that, but that's not what we're talking about.
You're talking about something that I just. You see, this is.
This is it. You're not having a conversation. You've asked me for the evidence that he's racist. No, I am. You've asked me for evidence that he's racist. I've given it to you, and you're completely ignoring it.
He's a totally decent guy.
Jane.
And I truly believe that he's trying his best for our country.
Dear God, you're thick. Jane, listen, please.
You're calling me thick?
Yes, because you're thick. Jane, listen,
I'm thick.
I'm glad we agree about something.
That's a special thing to say about somebody, really, isn't it?
I'm glad we agree about something.
I'm a highly educated person, actually.
I don't believe that for a second. You certainly didn't learn
well,
manners.
Well, I do,
okay,
because you're calling me sick.
Correct. Now, can you address... I've given you evidence that he's used racist language, and
you're sick. because you're only reading one side of a story.
I'm reading an article that he wrote where he...
I'm not an open-minded person whatsoever.
Oh, I'm more open-minded than you could ever think.
No, you're not.
I love ladies' parts and I love men's parts. That's quite open-minded. What I'm reading is I'm reading an article that he wrote where he used the term pickaninnies.
That's everybody's choice.
Sorry?
Can't fault you for that.
Okay. Is there a delay on this? Because it's like that the Two Ronnie sketch where you're answering the question before. I'm reading an article that Boris Johnson wrote where he used the derogatory term pickaninnies. That's my evidence that he's used racist language. An article
he... the good things that he said?
Well, no. That's
are you only picking on...
What about the other politicians in this country? What about one person? Yeah, because we're talking about one person, Jane.
No, we're not.
Well, we are. We're talking about
going to an election.
No, we're talking about
Jesus. Anybody say now,
Jane? We're talking about Boris Johnson.
No,
do
we're
you
not?
Do
you singling him out?
What do you think? What do
you are a bully?
We're talking about Boris Johnson.
But you are a bully.
I'm a bully because we're talking... What did you
think? You're a bully.
Great, okay.
You are a total bully.
Yeah, okay.
And you are not...
And you're going to put the phone down, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
Okay, fine.
We were talking... You are an absolute... You are totally not listening to anybody else's view.
I'm listening. We were talking about Boris Johnson.
So why shout? Why bawl?
Because you're not responding. This is what I mean. Have you been sniffing glue or something?
Boris Johnson is a very decent person.
He's a gentleman. Jesus Christ.
He's a scholar. He's a very educated man.
This is a spoof. He's a gentleman and a scholar.
What are you going to say now?
I'm going to go back to the point where you denied...
You're going to be derogative about him, aren't you?
No, I'm not going to be derogative. I'll be derogatory.
You are.
I'm not going to be derogative because I don't think...
You are.
It's my derogative. We were talking about whether he'd used racist language or not.
I don't believe he did.
So you don't think pickaninny is a... No, I don't. Can I finish the question?
I don't understand the term, and I've never even used it in my life.
Ah, so you don't...
So why would I even think it was derogative?
Because...
You're just picking on something.
Yes.
Just to bring the man down, aren't you?
No, I'm picking on it. I'm going to educate you now.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Well, I won't because you've got closed ears.
No, my ears are very open.
Well, then, shall I tell you?
Both sides, to be fair.
Well, it's not though, is it?
Not just one like you.
Because you're saying you don't know what pickaninny means, but you're not open to the idea it might be. Yes, I do. Yeah.
Well, what does it mean then?
Well, do you really want to know?
Well, yes, I would.
Okay, are you sure? Are you sure
yes,
that you're?
I was.
Are you sure that you're going to listen?
Oh yes, I would absolutely love to know because you seem to know what it means.
Well, I do know what it means. Yes. It's a derogatory term for black people. It often refers to slaves.
Well, that's totally unruly, isn't it?
It's unruly.
That's not acceptable.
So if I was to use the word pickaninny, which is
so
a derogatory term for black people.
Hang on a minute,
Jane.
So you're now trying to infuse the situation.
Infuse?
It wasn't even there.
Let's just play a little mind game, okay? If I were to refer to my listeners of colour as pickaninnies.
Well, everybody's unequal.
Okay.
There is no...
Literally no idea what you're talking about now. You're just rambling like a mad woman.
No, there is no... I beg your pardon?
I said you're just rambling like a mad woman.
No, there is no divide in this country. Everybody's accepted in this country.
Okay, well, can I just... Jane.
Love
Jesus
every minority,
Christ.
Majority,
I don't care.
Whatever.
Jane.
What's your point?
If you let me speak and if you actually respond
to
the words...
Cause an argument when there isn't one.
Okay, I'm just trying to point out exactly how dumb you are, if you'll let me. If I were to refer to my listeners of colour as pickaninnies, which is
You called me dumb.
Are you listening on the radio? Because there's a delay going on here.
No, I'm listening to you.
Okay. If I were to refer to my listeners of colour as pickaninnies, which is a derogatory term for black people and often was used to describe slaves, would you consider that as racist?
In a certain context.
Okay.
But you know something, that is totally unacceptable. people in this country.
It's unacceptable, isn't it?
What are you on about?
Well, the point is, Boris Johnson wrote an article where he referred to people as pickaninnies.
Well, I don't believe that he means that. I really don't.
Okay, well, what do you think he meant?
I don't know.
No, but you don't. But you, here's the thing.
I don't believe that he meant any derogative mark.
There's no such word as derogative.
What about all the Jewish people that have been anti-Semitized through the Labour Party?
I think it's awful. I think it's a real problem of anti-Semitization in the Labour Party.
You need to bring that up then, don't you?
Well, no, because you're...
What I'm saying
Jesus Christ, this woman is thick. Jane, we were talking about...
You're calling me thick?
For the fourth time, yeah. We were talking about Boris Johnson.
But you are very abusive, aren't you?
I don't like racists, and I don't like people who defend...
I'm very far from thick.
I don't like...
And you think... Are you calling me a racist? That's one thing I'm not.
Well, if you let me finish the sentence, because you know Muslim people...
You be very careful what you're saying.
Okay, that's... If I don't like racists, and I don't like people...
Well, don't speak to me like I am one, because I am not.
If you let me finish the sentence, Jane, we might get there in a bit. Do you drive? I don't like racists, and I don't like people who defend racists. Which
so
is what you're doing.
Like, then?
Sorry?
I'm not defending a racist.
You're defending Boris Johnson.
I'm defending my Prime Minister.
Well, here's the thing.
The Minister of our country.
I don't look up with complete deference to people in power.
Well, that's your opinion.
It is. I question them. And I question their racism.
Well, I question it as well. But you know something? I don't believe he is such a bad person that he's been painted out to be. And I think he needs to be given a choice, given a chance, and at least be able to get the referendum out of the way and go for what the country voted for, and let everybody stop this nonsense and let us all unite together as a country.
I would never unite with you, Jane.
Well, I wouldn't unite with you after calling me thick and gormless and everything else.
Didn't use the word gormless, but that's a good one. That's a good one. I'm going to add that to the list.
You?
Very.
You called me thick.
Very.
Uneducated.
Yep.
You're
right.
I think you're one-sided.
Au contraire.
You are not listening to an argument.
You haven't given one.
Well, there is an argument because
you haven't given one.
We need to get out of this country.
You get out of the country, Jane, if you want. I'm staying in the country. I live here. My house
really?
Is here.
Really? But you don't want to vote for what's right for it,
I'm staying. You want to get out of the country, do you?
Well, you don't want to write. We want to get out of the EU.
Well, you just said you want to get out of the country.
17.4 million people.
You just said you want to get out of the country. Make your mind up.
We want to leave the EU.
But you want to leave the country as well.
Well, we want to leave the EU.
You said you wanted to leave the country.
Are you for real?
No, you literally just said...
Are you really
30 seconds ago that you wanted to leave the country.
You are actually not normal.
No, I'm not.
Because you are not listening.
I'm listening better than you're speaking.
You are not. You are not listening. No, you can laugh all you like.
I will laugh.
Something.
I've had better arguments about Europe with my...
Stupid.
Yep, okay.
You are so stupid because you don't listen to what the people are saying to you.
I'm listening to you. I'm trying to listen to you.
But you haven't, though.
Well, I have.
All you've done is just abuse me.
You've just said you wanted to leave the country.
We want to leave the EU, don't we?
I don't know, because you a minute ago...
Well,
you
that's what most majority of people want to do,
you
isn't
just
it?
Said you wanted
is
to...
Is it not?
You just said you wanted to leave the country.
You know what I mean.
No,
you want to leave the EU, and I've said that on several times to you through this conversation.
But you also said you wanted to leave the country, Jane.
Well, shouldn't you, really?
I don't want to leave the country. My house is here. My house is here.
What's your opinion on it, then?
On what?
Would you like to remain, or would you like to leave?
In the country. I would like to remain in the country, if that's okay.
Oh, is that what you voted for?
I voted, every time I vote, it's to remain in the country. Every time.
Did you vote to leave the EU, or did you vote to remain?
Every time I vote to remain in the country.
So, did you vote to leave the EU, or to remain?
Well, now, here's the thing, Jane. Because
what did you vote? What's your vote?
I will tell you, but here's the thing. It's more nuanced than the answer I'm going to give you. I don't know if you know what the word nuanced means.
Go on, yeah.
Do you know what nuanced means?
Oh, go on, you'll tell me.
Well, no, I'm hoping you know.
Well, go on then.
Okay. it's, I'm going to give you the answer to your question.
Yeah, did you vote
I know.
Leave or remain?
I'm going
to give... Did you vote for a deal or without a deal? What did you vote for?
We didn't get to vote.
On the ballot paper. What did you vote for? Answer the question.
I've got to listen to you, Jeremy Paxman.
Answer the question. Did you vote leave or remain?
Yes.
With a deal, without a deal.
We weren't asked. We weren't asked. Well, Jane, I don't know. I don't know what.
So did you vote? It was a one thing.
Yeah, but you've just given four options.
Question.
You've given four things.
It was a one. You know what the question was.
I do, but I don't think you do. What was
you know what the question was. So what did you do?
Why don't you tell me what the question was?
Did you vote to remain?
Why don't you?
I suppose you voted to remain. Are you Ramona?
I don't know what that
means.
I'm 46 years old. I don't,
really?
Me don't speak your language.
Really?
Yeah.
What's it, 76? You don't speak my language.
You're 76, are you, Jane?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I apologise for being so rude to you then.
Well, I wouldn't be if I was you.
No, no.
You've been rude all night. So, did you vote to remain or did you vote to leave?
My vote...
With a deal or without a deal? What did you do?
We weren't...
Did you vote to
Jesus.
Remain with a deal or did you vote to leave without a deal?
Have you got grandkids?
That wasn't on the question paper, was it?
You're answering your own... You're having your own conversation now. Have you got grandkids?
Oh, I've got lots of grandkids.
I'm so sorry for them.
Oh, really? I'm very happy for them because you know something. If we get out of this mess, eventually, we will eventually... Learn to live as a lovely country, be united, move forward, be able to have deals with other countries and not be tied into this mess that we are in today. I was in the common market when it went into the common market.
Oh, so it's your fault?
Oh, so it was my fault, yeah. I was the only one that voted.
So you voted, so it's your fault?
Did you vote to leave or remain? Answer the question.
Why? Why should I answer?
Because you need to.
No, I don't.
Because you've questioned me.
No.
Answer the question.
Don't need to answer anything.
Yes, you do.
I voted.
You vote
I voted to.
Or remain.
Well, here's the thing, Jane.
You're Ramona, aren't you?
No, I'm not, because I don't know what that means, because I'm a grown man. I don't throw around childish.
You're Ramona.
Okay.
You didn't want to leave the EU, did you?
This is Talk Radio.
Speech Radio with a difference. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Are you sure you want to hear it?
Don't miss the show that everyone else is talking about.
Are you a telepath, Ian Lee?
I'm sending you an answer now.
Great big talk for the wee small hours.
It's not going... No one will hear this, will they?
No. The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
The station's brilliant.
Weeknights from 10 on Talk Radio.